AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life. The bills, the job, the family. Things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by...
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, today is the 58th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And it's kind of a slow news day. So I want to do an absolute deep dive, like one for the ages, one that will live on YouTube forever and or, you know, whatever, on an archive over on our podcast that people can look back on with my buddy Lamar Waldron. I'll get to that in just a moment. Recently we saw the exoneration of two people who had been accused of assassinating Malcolm X. This, I think, should cause us to pause for a moment and say, wait a minute, you know, a rush to judgment in Malcolm X, there's still questions around the Bobby Kennedy assassination, there's still questions about the Martin Luther King assassination, and of course, the JFK assassination is the big one, right? Lamar and I researched this for decades. Lamar has spent more than 30 years working on this. He has written three books altogether. I participated in two of them. One of those books, the most recent, The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, Lamar wrote himself. The ones that he and I wrote together, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, are still out there and in print. We're going to be talking about two secret sources that gave us information about the JFK assassination. And we're going to do it, as I said, a deep dive all 3 hours of the program today. In our third hour, we will take your calls for Lamar and me on what we learned out of this. But first, I want to lay it all out. So with us now is my co-author on those first two books, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. Or I guess I'm his co-author. Lamar did the majority of the heavy lifting on these books. I participated in a lot of the research. Variety called him the ultimate JFK historian. The Chicago Tribune called him one of the best investigative journalists in America. Lamar, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you again, Tom.
And thank you, Lamar. So let's start like you did in your most recent book, the JFK, the hidden history of the JFK assassination. Who killed John F. Kennedy and why?
Well, to give you the briefest summary possible, which even that'll take 4 or 5 minutes, the masterminds who killed JFK were three mafia bosses: Carlos Marcello, the mafia boss of Louisiana and much of Texas; Santo Trafficante, the godfather of Tampa, and again the mob boss of much of Florida, though Miami was kind of an open city, but Trafficante was certainly first among equals, even in Miami. And then a guy who was not a godfather. Those first two were godfathers, and if you know anything about the mafia, you know the godfather sits at the top of a mafia family. But the next guy involved, who was totally crucial, and one of the secret sources we're going to be revealing today, actually told me, you know, that okay, you got two if you've got Marcello and Trafficante, but you need the third. And he was totally right. And he was Bobby Kennedy's right-hand man. We'll talk about him shortly. But that mafia don's name was Johnny Roselli. Johnny Roselli was the Chicago Mafia's man in Hollywood and Las Vegas. Johnny Roselli worked for the mob boss of Chicago, a man by the name of Sam Giancana. But Sam Giancana was under so much pressure by the Kennedy Justice Department in 63, he couldn't really take an active role. But Johnny Roselli sure could. And so those three mob bosses, but they were something else. They were, in addition to being mob bosses, they were also CIA assets. All three of them had been working with the CIA since even before JFK became president on, originally, Vice President Richard Nixon's plots to have the CIA and the mafia work together to assassinate Fidel Castro. That all started before the 1960 election.
This was back in 59, wasn't it? Nixon setting this up in anticipation of the election because Kennedy was beating him up so badly for letting Castro go, you know, take Cuba communist?
Actually, even before JFK got the nomination in the summer of 60, you're exactly right. It started in 59 when Nixon went to Jimmy Hoffa. And had Hoffa be kind of the broker between the CIA and the mafia, but that didn't work. So in the summer of 60, they said, let's go more direct. So the CIA directly sat down and talked with Johnny Roselli. He got him in touch with his boss, Giancana, and most importantly, Santo Trafficante. And then Carlos Marcello came into the mix. So it's important to remember, because some critics who either haven't read our books or haven't read anything we published since 2005, try to say, well, Waldron and Hartman blame it completely on the mafia, which is totally wrong. If anybody reads our books or has seen the Discovery Channel specials produced by the NBC News Dateline division, they'll know we always bring the CIA into it. And so those mob bosses were able to get other people in the CIA to work with them, including the head of operations at the Miami CIA station, a man by the name of David Morales, a lower-level agent by the name of Bernard Barker, a name familiar to some of your listeners because he was the assistant to a guy your listeners, many of them will know, by the name of E. Howard Hunt. And then there were other mobsters involved as well, like David Ferry, played by Joe Pesci in the Oliver Stone film, who was actually a CIA agent, and a guy named John Martino. And so those men working together, along with the head of the French Connection, the developer of the French Connection, that brought in the heroin. There was a big heroin problem throughout the 50s and into the early 60s, and then again starting in the late 60s. The head of that operation, whose apartment you visited while he was still alive, the outside of it, a guy by the name of Michael Victor Mertz, who was deported by the United States government.
Oh, I tried to track him down to France.
Exactly right.
I flew to France and spent a whole week chasing that guy.
And you actually had the guts to go to his apartment, which is on one of the nicest streets in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
The same street where the Duke of Windsor lived, you know. And so those guys working together. And like I say, Mertz got deported by Customs, INS. Actually, the day after the assassination from Dallas.
Right.
So those guys working together, but they were all also working for the CIA. So again, the top guys in CIA, they weren't involved because they didn't even know about these CIA mafia plots that were continuing into 1963. But yes, these lower-level guys we just mentioned. And get this, all the mob bosses confessed. You don't have to take our word for it. And they didn't confess for money. They confessed late in life to very trusted associates. And John Martino confessed. David Morales confessed. Bernard Barker almost confessed. And by the way, Bernard Barker was a Cuban exile. So many people say, well, was it the CIA? Was it the mafia? Was it Cuban exiles? Well, Barker is a perfect example of somebody who was all three. But because they had those CIA connections, they were able to do what we'll be talking about much of the first hour, which is the super, super top secret plan that's really part of the reason everything has been kept secret for so long. And your listeners should know, we got the story. In most cases, in addition to 30, I don't want to diminish 30 years of work on our part or things where we spent that day looking through all the microfilm of the Tampa newspapers.
Oh, that was
we discovered
insane.
JFK was almost killed in Tampa 4 days before Dallas. Many of your listeners don't realize that.
And they also tried to kill him in Chicago before Tampa.
Exactly. 3 weeks before Dallas, I almost killed him in Chicago. 4 days before Dallas, I almost killed him in Tampa. Our books are the only place you'll ever read about that because we discovered it. And then I talked to the Tampa chief of police at the time. He says, boy, I've been waiting. I talked to him in the mid-90s. He's like, yeah, I've been waiting on this call for decades. I'm shocked nobody's called me about this because it was no secret. And so, but we got the inside story from 24 people who actually worked with John and Robert Kennedy on these very things.
Right, and we'll get into the details of that in just a moment. It's 15 minutes past the hour. We're doing a deep dive into the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Today is the 58th anniversary of his assassination. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, along with Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program,
which I helped write, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. We'll be right back with Lamar Waldron.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 29. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 47. Lows level off around 33 tomorrow night. Clear skies Saturday with daytime highs approaching 53. 41, chance for scattered showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. So there are actually some substantial differences between the Taliban, the Afghanistan Taliban, the group that has, you know, that Donald Trump assigned what his Secretary of State and, or excuse me, his Defense Secretary and his National Security Advisor referred to as surrender documents to back in early 2020. There's a difference between the Taliban and ISIS, or even K-ISIS, which is how they're identifying the ISIS group that has emerged in Afghanistan. The main difference is that the Taliban's ambitions are largely confined to Afghanistan. They want to be a regional force. They were the government of Afghanistan before. They want to be the government of Afghanistan again. ISIS, on the other hand, wants to reestablish the entire caliphate across the Middle East, across Northern Africa, across parts of Southern Europe. And this is going to bring these two into conflict. I've got a whole video about this over at TomHartmann.com for folks who support the program. Check it out. And welcome back. On the line with us is Lamar Waldron. We're doing a deep dive today into the Kennedy assassination. It's the anniversary of the assassination. And so, Lamar, let's start, you know, where you and I kind of began back in the 90s when we were first, or in the 80s, actually, when we were first doing a real deep dive into this. And that would be with John F. Kennedy's Secretary of State, Dean Rusk.
That's exactly right. And you raised another point. People should know what got us into this, because it's going to come up again when we reveal another secret source, was a 1988, fall 1988, special by the most prominent journalist of the 1970s, and was still pretty well known in the 80s, a guy by the name of Jack Anderson. And he did a special on the 25th anniversary. You and I both saw it. Jack Anderson had known Johnny Rovelli, had interviewed him and used some of his information. And at the end of that special, it said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I haven't seen it in quite a while, that there were still hundreds of pages of JFK assassination files still secret. So you and I saw the end of that and was like, well, what on earth could be key? Because, you know, it had been, that's the 25th anniversary, fall of 88. You know, what could be so secret that there were still hundreds of pages of files secret? Of course, I mean, we were so naive because they released 4.5 million pages since, but that doesn't even include all the really good stuff. So that's what got us into it. And then we were working at a corporate communications company that you owned.
Yeah, and, an ad agency, and, yeah.
And doing the newsletter for Georgia Public Television, the PBS outlets in Georgia. And Dean Rusk, who had been JFK's Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State for JFK's successor, Lyndon Johnson, through much of the 60s, too, and, you know, so he was a distinguished guy, and they were going to be doing a program of his oral reminiscences, and I read his biography in preparation for that. And so the plan was we'd interview him for the newsletter. I would interview him for the newsletter. You and I would talk about everything ahead of time. And then at the end of the conversation, I was going to ask him a question or two about, you know, what could be so secret that it would still be secret after 25 years? Plus, I'd come across a Washington Post article that had mentioned in the obituary of a Cuban exile that this particular Cuban exile had been part of JFK's plans for a second invasion of Cuba in the fall of 1963. Well, for your listeners that don't have the gray hair you and I have, you know, once Castro came to power, first Richard Nixon tried to assassinate Fidel. That didn't work. The CIA sold JFK a bill of goods, saying, well, we'll train these Cuban exiles to go in, and they'll, you know, 1,500 or so Cuban exiles, yeah, they can conquer all of Cuba. Castro's 100,000-man militia and army, yeah, these guys can take care of that. And of course, the CIA didn't believe that for a moment, but the CIA was still working with the mafia without telling the new president. They were still working with Trafficante, Roselli, and Marcello.
At the same time, Bobby was aggressively prosecuting these mafia guys.
Right, because that's how JFK became president in the first place, was going after, on televised hearings, widely publicized hearings, going after the mafia, including Trafficante, dragging Sam Giancana, Roselli's boss, and Carlos Marcello in front of the Senate committee. So Senator John F. Kennedy and his brother, the committee's counsel, Robert Kennedy, that's how JFK came to prominence, was going after the mafia and their ally slash banker, Jimmy Hoffa. And so once JFK became president, he appointed his brother Bobby attorney general. You know, people can debate the merits of that, but it was no Trump-like situation. I mean, Bobby, everybody, you know, because you and I've talked to, you know, a bunch of people that work with Bobby, and yeah, Bobby went after the mafia harder than anyone, because the mafia had it easy under Nixon. He had been in the mob's pocket since he began.
Well, and J. Edgar Hoover, too, was being blackmailed by them.
Exactly. So, you know, so finally they were going after the mafia. So unknown to Bobby, Attorney General Robert Kennedy and President Kennedy, you know, while the Bay of Pigs is going on, the mafia is still working for the CIA, because, you know, yeah, there's no way 1,500 Cuban exiles are going to conquer Cuba or defeat Castro's 100,000-man army militia. But, you know, the hope would be that even though JFK swore U.S. troops would never be used in Cuba, the CIA was certain that once Fidel and probably Raul and Che Guevara were all killed by the mafia, that then JFK would have no choice. There would be chaos in Cuba. A lot of Americans still lived in Cuba, had interest and property that had not quite yet been all nationalized. And so that was what was supposed to happen. Well, that didn't happen. That was a big failure. And then a year and a half after that, something in 1962 called the Cuban Missile Crisis, very important, and because that's when we all thought, and I don't know about you, but I know for me, you know, we would go to the bomb shelter in elementary school, and
we were terrified. I was terrified. I was a little kid. I was terrified. We thought the world was going to end. We thought it was going to be a nuclear holocaust.
Exactly right. So that was just a year before JFK's assassination. So that's going to bring us up to what I'm going to reveal that Secretary of State Dean Rusk told me and us about this big secret, that it's the reason, one big reason for so much secrecy even today.
We'll get to that in just a moment with Lamar Waldron. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's a deep dive into who killed John Kennedy, how, and why, with Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.
Old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a Pack Rat. Join the Pack Rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, Pack Rats.
800-334-5468. 800.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once. Once, he has very
slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate. He literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
The Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff.
like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Our 1 hour free podcast recaps our show, and it's available wherever fine podcasts are found. And we have the full 3 hour podcast available over at TomHartmann.com if you want to really support our program. Welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you. We're doing a deep dive into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Lamar Waldron and I wrote two books, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy, Love, Secrecy, on this. And then the ultimate book, which Lamar wrote himself more recently, titled The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We were just talking about how back in 88, Louise and I owned an advertising agency in Atlanta. It was called the Newsletter Factory. And we were producing a newsletter. We also produced a newsletter for the Kennedy Library, which is how I got in to meet Dave Powers. We'll talk about that later. But we were producing a newsletter for the local PBS station in Atlanta. And Dean Rusk was coming in to do an oral history. And Lamar went over to interview him on our behalf. Lamar was running the seminar division of our company, which, by the way, we conducted seminars for the NSA. We taught the CIA. We taught Army intelligence. We taught everybody.
Do you remember when the FBI paid for their, it was like $300, and they paid with, I think, like their drug buy money?
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was like, these FBI guys showed up, and they paid in cash. It was funny. Anyhow, so you went and interviewed Dean Rusk. And he dropped this bombshell that got us just nuts on, okay, we've got to figure out who killed Kennedy because of this.
And who can tell us more about what Rusk revealed. So the first half of the interview, Rusk had his answers. I mean, it was the same, because we got to see an advanced showing of that special that was going to be on Georgia PBS, and the biography. I mean, he had his rehearsed answers about, you know, Vietnam and why it wasn't such a bad idea to start with, and then it turned into a bad, you know, and it was, it was just the routine stuff. And then at the end, with the tape recorder still rolling, I said, by the way, a friend of mine and I are working on a book. At that time, it was going to be a novel. And I just had a couple questions for you. And he said, sure. And I said, well, yeah, there was this one sentence in this otherwise big, uncontroversial Washington Post article, obituary for a Bay of Pigs veteran, that said JFK was planning a second invasion of Cuba in the fall of 63. And I haven't read that in any history book or seen it in any documentary or anything ever. Is the Washington Post wrong? Are they right? What's the story? And he's like, oh, no, yes, we were going to do that. Yeah, we were. And so, and I'm like, okay.
This is Kennedy's Secretary of State.
JFK's Secretary of State is telling me something that's not in any history book, in any documentary, in any released document anywhere. Because by that time, we'd been to the to this private archives in Washington. I'd been to the National Archives, and so it was just like, okay. So, and his demeanor changed completely. He's basically not the most exciting person. He's a pretty dry guy, and his special, the oral history, was dry. His incidents, most of them in his biography, were dry. But boy, he became animated, because he said, you know, I haven't talked about this in decades to anyone, because it was so secret at the time. I'm like, okay. In fact, he said it was so secret, I didn't even know the full story on the plan until after JFK was assassinated. So right. We're talking about a plan so secret that JFK's own Secretary of State, and later on I found out even JFK's own Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, really didn't know the full scope of this plan until after JFK died.
Right, and let me add very quickly, we'll get to this later on in the program, but, you know, I went to Washington, D.C. and met with a general who was involved in this, who essentially threatened my life if I ever went public with this. That's how top secret that plan was.
Cause we're going to be getting to that in just a few minutes. So bottom line is, he said, yeah, we were going to do that. It was a live program. This wasn't a maybe, an if. No, this was a go.
And this is after the Bay of Pigs.
Well, this is, yeah, this is, so Bay of Pigs, April 61, Cuban Missile Crisis, October 1962. So now we're into November 1963, while literally when JFK died, this plan was imminent. And I asked him, I said, no, look, so we know, Congress, the Senate and the House, they found out in the 70s, the CIA was working with this mid-level Cuban official that really didn't have much power, but he had a big travel budget so he could go to Europe and places so we could meet his CIA contacts, named Rolando Cubela. Is that what we're talking about? He says, oh, no. He was so dismissed. He said, Cubela was so far down the totem pole compared to the person we were dealing with, that the Kennedys were dealing with. And so, okay, so there are not that many high-level leaders in Cuba, Che and Raul and, of course, Fidel Castro were the only three I knew. And so he didn't give me the name of the person, but he said he was, I said, there's those three. And then he said, yeah, so basically the guy the Kennedys were working with was, he implied he was higher than Che. So that would pretty much make him the third most powerful man in Cuba. So this was just stunning.
By the way, John Kennedy's Secretary of State confirming that there was another plot to assassinate Castro that involved one of the top three Cuban officials that Bobby and John were.
And this is important. Your listeners will hear this again. He said, but we didn't look at it as an assassination plot. It was going to be a coup. This high guy, high-level guy in Cuba was going to overthrow Fidel. It was going to be secret that we were secret forever, that we were secretly helping this guy. And so, it would just look like, Castro had been killed, and we later found out who he blamed on. And so, no one would ever know that the U.S., JFK wouldn't be taking credit for this in the 64 election. No, it would just be, this thing happened in Cuba, there was this coup, and so this new guy's in charge, and we can deal with this new guy. And by the way, people don't have to take my word for that, because get this, the tape recorder kept rolling, because I kept looking at it, and the little wheels were spinning. This is old, cassette tape recorder. But as soon as Russ started talking about the secret plan, when you listen to the tape, it fades out. So, make of that what you will. But people have to take our word. You can, if you Google Vanity Fair, Dean Rusk, and probably Tom Hartman or Lamar Waldron, Vanity Fair confirmed this with Rusk, and he did it on the record and said, yep, that's what we were going to do. So after Rusk, then you and I were looking hard. So who else can we talk to? The obituary in the Washington Post that mentioned it. Well, that guy was dead. And the first FBI agent to ever go up against J. Edgar Hoover, a guy by the name of Bill Turner, William Turner.
Who was such a good guy.
Such a great guy. I highly recommend his book.
We had such, I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's just a super guy. This is when presidents, attorney generals, and senators were all afraid of Hoover, and Bill Turner went up against him and got drummed out of the FBI, of course, but that let him get into the JFK stuff. So he had written a book, and he had interviewed a Cuban exile, apparently close to Bobby Kennedy, by the name of Enrique Ruiz Williams, who went by the name Harry Williams.
Right.
And
it,
so
Bill's book, by the way, that was The Fish Is Red, wasn't it? What's the title of the book?
Well, Fish Is Red, and then it was reissued as Deadly Secrets, and right. I think it may even have a new name now. But like I say, William Turner, if he wrote it, you definitely want to read it. And so he even sent us his interview with Harry. He said, look, I don't want you guys starting from zero, because he'll just cover the stuff he's already told me. You want to get more than what he told me. So that was just great. So we didn't have to just cover what Harry had already told Bill. We said, okay, we know all this stuff. Now let's ask the next questions and get this. So turns out Harry was a big hero of the Bay of Pigs. He wasn't a leader at the Bay of Pigs. He was a hero. I mean, he was a hero. He was badly wounded. He was in a field hospital with maybe 20 other of the most badly wounded prisoners after they were all captured by Fidel. Fidel Castro goes into the field hospital. Harry reaches into his boot when Castro's about 6 feet away from him, and even though Harry's badly injured, he pulls out a pistol, points it at Fidel Castro, and fires. Unfortunately, Harry's fellow prisoners had thought Harry was so badly injured he might commit suicide with that pistol. They had removed the bullets. Fidel, though, so Fidel's guards all jumped on this badly injured Harry. Fidel waved him off. He said, look, this guy's got guts. He's got courage. Let's take him and these other guys, put him in a good Cuban hospital. So for trying to kill Fidel, Harry got in a good Cuban hospital, and a guy came to visit Harry Williams, a guy who was the head of the Cuban army, the number three guy in Cuba, the highest black official in Cuba, because, of course, Fidel and Raul weren't black, and Che wasn't even Cuban. So they had known each other back when Commander Juan Almeida, who was then the head of the Cuban army, and would stay the head of the Cuban army for years, back when he would guard Harry's car, when Harry would go to that famous restaurant in Havana, I think it's called the Floridita, that Hemingway made famous, and when Almeida was a teenager, Harry would pay him to watch his car to make sure nothing happened to it, but they stayed friends. And so now Commander Almeida is the head of the Cuban army, and he comes to see Harry, and we now know, Harry didn't even know this, Commander Almeida had made it clear 2 months before the Bay of Pigs that he was ready to defect and help the United States, but the CIA didn't act on that, even though their sources were telling them this, because the CIA was confident the mafia was going to kill Fidel, so they didn't need the head of the Cuban army. How stupid, right? But anyway, Commander Almeida told Harry, look, if you ever get the chance to convey information to John Kennedy, tell him that I think Fidel's going off the rails. It's not the socialist paradise. It's on its way to becoming a dictatorship. You know, a bunch of people helped overthrow the Nixon-supported dictator Batista, but you know, a lot of those guys had gone by the wayside. Either they had to fled or they'd been killed. And so, that friendship was rekindled there. Harry and the other badly wounded prisoners were released and told to go to the United States. And basically they had until the end of 1962 to get the Kennedys to ransom the other Bay of Pigs prisoners, or Castro implied he might start shooting them. And so Harry came to the United States. He was regarded as a total hero by all the other Cuban exiles. And he was the one that went to Bobby Kennedy and said, you've got to do this. And things dragged out, and Richard Nixon, responsible for the whole mess, torpedoed early plans to get the prisoners out. So this became a very dramatic thing. And Harry and Robert Kennedy got those prisoners out by Christmas of 1962.
Yeah, and it was an amazing story. I remember Harry telling us, we'll get into that in a minute. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, and we'll be right back. It's a deep dive into the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Lamar and I spent 2 decades. Lamar spent about 30 years digging into this stuff. We'll be right back. You probably heard by now that you should be using a VPN when you connect to the internet. Well, if you knew how easy it is to protect your connection with ExpressVPN, you'd be doing it already. ExpressVPN is the easiest way to browse safely, securely, and just better. First of all, it's blazing fast. Lots of other VPNs slow your connection to the point where it's not even worth it to connect. But ExpressVPN doesn't lag or buffer, and you can stream in HD with no issues. And it couldn't be easier to use. Just open the ExpressVPN app, click one button, and enjoy instant protection across all your devices. Once you connect to ExpressVPN, you won't even realize you have it on. But your connection is secure, your data is encrypted, and you can get access to content available outside your region. No wonder it's been called the best VPN by Business Insider and TechRadar. Right now, go to expressvpn.com/Tom, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. That's expressvpn.com/Tom. ExpressVPN.com/Tom.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 47 today under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 33. Clear skies. Tomorrow, highs around 53. Turning much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. Chance for scattered rain showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world and what we can do before it's too late. Renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. So for this week's special video, for the supporters of our program that we put up over at TomHartman.com, I stepped into the Wayback Machine, and it's really remarkable when you go back over what President Obama accomplished and the Democrats in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, what they accomplished between 2008 and 2010 when they controlled Congress and the White House versus everything that the Republicans blocked. I mean, the Democrats in those 2 years, they saved Chrysler, they saved General Motors, they turned 800,000 monthly job losses into job gains. They increased spending and education spending, decreased the cost of student loans, all kinds of great stuff. But then when the Republicans took over, they blocked a veterans job bill, they blocked Wall Street reform, they blocked immigration reform, they blocked political ad disclosure. And this is just the little tip of the iceberg. You can see the whole video over at TomHartman.com. Lamar Waldron, author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination and two other books about the Kennedy assassination we worked on for the better part of 20 years that were authored by both of us, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, although Lamar did the majority of the work on these books. So, Lamar, Harry Williams, very close friend with Bobby Kennedy, spends time with him in New York, spends time with him in the Hamptons, is working with him to try to overthrow the Bay of Pigs hero working, well, let me just toss it to you. Continue with it.
What happened was, so it became known in the Cuban exile community in Miami, which still had a lot of back and forth at that time with Cuba, of course, that Bobby Kennedy and Harry Williams were close. And so one day, Harry Williams gets a call from his old friend, the commander of the Cuban army, actually the guy who founded the Cuban army back when there were only like Castro and his 12 disciples, literally the guy who founded the Cuban army and was the commander of the Cuban army, Commander Juan Almeida, calls Harry on the phone in Miami. And Harry's a little cautious because he's like, well, isn't this phone bugged? And Almeida says, oh no, I control, that's controlled by the army, monitoring the conversations. To between Cuba and Miami. So no, you don't have to worry. This is probably the only safe line in all of Cuba to talk on. And he says, look, if you can get Bobby to get JFK on board, kind of like we had talked about back in the spring of 61, but now it's May of 63, I'll overthrow Fidel Castro for you, but I've got to know, I've got to have the support of the President of the United States. So I actually have Bobby Kennedy's phone logs from that time, and you can see Bobby gets a call from Harry Williams. Bobby Kennedy calls JFK. They no doubt talk about Almeida's offer, and then Bobby Kennedy calls Harry Williams back, no doubt saying that, yeah, JFK is on board. And by the way, it's within a week of that we now have files, thanks to the Fifth Government Committee, the Assassination Records Review Board, that show that high levels of the American military and other national security groups start making plans for what to do if high-level Cuban military official were to make an outreach to the United States. And of course, So they start making these plans. It'll keep going all the way through November. But, of course, most of the people working on those plans are just looking at it as like Dean Rusk, as a what-if exercise. In reality, only JFK, Robert Kennedy, and a few other high officials, including Secretary of the Army Cyrus Vance, the father of the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr. So again, you see how secret it is.
So these were the only guys who knew that in the first week of December of 63, which was, 2 weeks after Kennedy was assassinated.
Literally, we have the date from the CIA file and implying it from what Harry said, but it was literally 10 days after Dallas, December 1st, 1963. That was the date. One military file doing that contingency, that the what-if planning, literally calls that D-Day.
So they were going to take out Castro on that day, and the thing that stopped it was Kennedy being assassinated.
Exactly. So a couple more super important things about the coup plan, aside from the fact of how secret it was, as far as I can tell, only about a dozen American officials, including JFK and Bobby, of course, and Cyrus Vance, and Alexander Haig, of all people, knew about, knew that all this planning that started the week after Almeida called Harry Williams wasn't just a what-if scenario, but it was the real thing.
But they also had to figure out what to do to deny, to have deniability, and this is what led to the cover-up of the Kennedy assassination.
Well, and as Harry Williams told us, there would be someone in Cuba to take the fall for it,
right.
And from those planning documents, we know that would be a Russian or a Russian sympathizer. So the CIA would be responsible for getting a Russian or a Russian sympathizer in place in Cuba, and they would take the blame.
All right, can you spell Lee Harvey Oswald? We will continue this conversation on the other side of this break. We're doing a 3-hour deep dive into the Kennedy assassination with, in my opinion, the preeminent scholar, the guy the Chicago Tribune called one of the best investigative journalists in the United States. Variety magazine called him the ultimate JFK historian, Lamar Waldron. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Spoiled supermarket meats, sawdust-like fillers, artificial preservatives, these are just a few of the potentially harmful ingredients found in many popular dog foods today. That's why Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw dog food made with real cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, superfood veggies, and fruit. Dr. Marty has been called the miracle worker by Forbes because he's helped countless dogs thrive. Our dogs love this food. Nature's Blend is designed to help support your dog's playfulness, healthy skin, soft coat, easy digestion, and youthful mobility. Dogs go bonkers for the savory flavor and texture. For the holidays, save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and a free festive holiday dog sweater with select orders. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. They offer 100% 90-day return on your purchase price. Text Tom to 511-511 today. Offer available with select orders while supplies last. Text fees may apply. You may receive.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.